Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Life from All Sides. I'm your host, Kim B. Miller, and this show is about looking at life through every angle and sometimes through our own eyes or through someone else's eyes. And the point of the show is to give you a different perspective, to give you something else to look at, to make you aware of a different point of view. Therefore, Life from All Sides. You can email me anytime you like at kim@kimbmiller.com. Again, that's kim@kimbmiller.com. And we always like your input and your feedback, so keep sending it. Appreciate it. This is a new season of Life from All Sides. Welcome to 2016, and we're glad you are spending it with us. Today, we are continuing our part five of a series we started on the world or Christ. You have to pick one, where we basically talk scripture and compare it to the world's view. And I'm happy to join a great friend of mine, Miss Audrey L., to the conversation. Hello, Audrey.
Hello, Kim.
How are you today?
I'm just fabulous. How are you?
I cannot complain. God is good.
All the time.
That's right. All right, we're going to jump right into scripture. And the first one we're looking at is 1 John 2:15-16. And for those of you online, you can see it online there. It's it'll keep rolling, but it'll show on your screen. And it reads, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." And Audrey, as usual, I will have you start on what you think that means and how you think we mess it up, as usual.
Well, my when I hear this, the first thing that comes to me is really put God first. God is within us, and anything that takes you away from God, you know, the lust of the spirit, you know, being evil, not being yourself, just, you know, if you just put it in practical terms, God's not in it. And you need to keep God within you. And that doesn't mean, you know, you're perfect, because none of us are perfect. Only the Father's perfect. But you have to keep your eye on the Father. And the Father will convict you when you're going down the wrong path. And I always just think what this verse means to me is He's in you. He's not of the world. So when you start veering toward the world and you're not veering toward Him, you're going down the wrong path.
I agree with that. And when I look at it too, I think of sometimes as the world, we kind of focus and forget that we're not, even though we're here and we live in this world, that's not our sole purpose and that's not our sole focus. And sometimes when you're here, you kind of get stuck in just looking at everything. Well, if I don't have it, then I'm broke. You know, if I don't have money, I'm broke. Well, your wealth isn't just in money. And if you only base it on money, then you'll never be happy, because there's billionaires and millionaires who aren't happy.
Right.
So
there's so much more. Right.
Exactly. So if money solved everything, everything would be solved. You know, Kimism. If money solved everything, everything would be solved. But it's not. So do not love the world or anything in the world, because you get so stuck on, oh, if I just had that one more car, or if I just had that one more suit, or that house, or that thing, then that, you know, proverbial, then I'll be happy.
And everything is temporary here. That's what we got to remember.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here to do a job, and whatever God tells us to do, that's what we're to do. So that means that, you know, it's like when you leave one job and go to another.
Right.
It's everything's temporary. You leave one house and go to another. It's because it's not. It's just material things. It doesn't matter, really.
Mm-hmm. And if people could get past it, because you can't take it with you. And that doesn't mean it means nothing, but it means it puts it in perspective on what it means now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't take it with you, how valuable is it?
And really, the more you fill yourself with the spirit, things of the spirit, the less the material things mean to you.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
And for those listening, because, you know, we always get the email and the stuff later, are you saying you should have nothing? That's not what we're saying.
No.
Because, you know, people turn it and, you know, make it what they want it to be. It's not that you should have nothing, but if everything is on what you should have, then you have nothing.
Right. And remember, we're not saying you should have nothing because God tells you, he gives you the desires of your heart. But
right.
Your heart needs to be in line with him. Then you will desire
right.
the right things. And you know what? Those right things, some of those could be material things. But
right.
they're coming in with from the way of the Father, not from the way of us.
Correct. And it's not just the earthly items. Because like it said,
right.
the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Because, you know, now you're down here, you're a big dog, and, you know, you're ruling things. But if your life is not in order, what difference does all that make?
Right.
You know, you're ruling, but you're ruling for the wrong reasons, and you're happy for the wrong reasons, so you're not really happy, and sooner or later, that comes out.
And you wonder why. I have everything I thought I desired. Why am I still miserable? How many
exactly.
rich people commit suicide? You think, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God, they have everything. What is wrong
yep.
with them? Because they don't
yep.
have the love of God in their house, in their heart.
Or, you know, other issues. But like you said, it's so vast, and it's so easy to get caught up in the wrong, looking at this the wrong way, as opposed to looking at it for what it could be or what it should be. And it could be a dangerous thing to get stuck on the wrong path.
Right.
But anyway, I'm going to continue on to the next scripture, and that is 1 Peter, and for those listening, I always use the New International Version. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of the believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. What do you think on that one?
I think this one speaks to us being mindful that it's real easy for the devil to slip in. The devil is, remember, the devil knows the word better than some of us. The devil
Correct.
Knows. The devil knows who God is. And remember, if you look in some verses in the Bible, unfortunately I can't quote it right now, but there's a story in the Bible where the devil bows down to God because he knows who God is. He knows
right.
the power. And he knows if we were just to tap into a tenth of that power, he's powerless. And so he's
mm-hmm.
always around, and he's sneaky. It's not, he doesn't come, you know, and stand in your face. It's real subtle. It starts real
Tell
easy.
It.
And it's, you know, one day I'm going to slip, you know, I don't drink anymore. I'm going to have a drink, or I'm going to start hanging around these people that I don't normally hang around with just once in a while. Oh, now
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go to church. Now I'm not going to Bible study. Now I'm not going to pray anymore. I don't have time because I'm trying, you know, whatever. Those are just examples I'm throwing out on how sneaky
right.
he can be. It's not in your face. And
mm-hmm.
we always have to stand firm because we're human. It's we're of the flesh, so it's real easy for us to be taken away with that. And we also have to know that we're not the only ones suffering. We always think it's only us going through this. Well, everybody going through something at
yes.
some time. And so we need to reach out to each other, I think, as well, and talk about some of the sufferings that we're going through so we can stay strong. It's like my sister's going through something and I can help her, and my brother's going through something and I can help him, and vice versa. We can stay strong and be alert and help us to be alert. Because sometimes things are happening. If you're not telling anybody, if you start
yep.
telling people, They go, hey, Audrey, you know, I noticed you used to do X, Y, and Z. You don't do that anymore. Why not? Why? You know, you need somebody to be accountable. What's going on,
mm-hmm.
sister? If you know, the devil loves to keep you, you know, isolated. And
mm-hmm.
when you're not with people, it's kind of hard sometimes on your own to be alert, as they're saying in this verse. I know
mm-hmm.
it's kind of all over the place, but there's a lot in this verse.
Yes, it is, and I put those two together just for that reason, because there's a lot in there, and I agree with everything you just said, and people sometimes want to, what's the word I want to look, not sugarcoat, but overlook things, and this
mm-hmm.
this verse is saying be alert, because we tend to get that feeling and then overlook. Well, maybe I'm wrong. If you get a feeling for whatever reason, listen to your spirit within you that tells you something is off or something is good.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be, it's not always off. Sometimes it's something
mm-hmm.
good, but we want to go down this path because we've already pre-decided to go this way, and we're not being alert. We're just being obedient to ourselves, because we're going to go down this path no matter how many red flags, no matter how many slowdowns, no matter how many, anything that comes up, we're still going, because this is the path we chose. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then we just keep going that way. And this verse is telling us to be alert and sober of mind. There's nothing wrong with planning out and deciding to go a certain way and making plans to do stuff. But if God is trying to, and the Lord is leading you in another way, you should be alert and sober of mind enough to know, enough to say, wait a minute, I'm getting something within me is telling me maybe I need to rethink this. Maybe I need
mm-hmm.
to look at this another way. And if you're so stubborn of mind that you've already set this path out and that's the way you're going no matter what, you could be overlooking a better path or a better way. Or maybe you shouldn't have been on that path whatsoever. Or maybe you should
mm-hmm.
have been, but now circumstances have changed. But if you're not alert and sober of mind, and the devil knows that that's your weakness, because he already knows what all of our weaknesses are. Now, so you can accept or not accept what your weakness is all you want, because that's your business. But if you think he doesn't know what your weakness is, you're kidding yourself.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
very aware of that.
And like I
Would
said, he's very subtle. Very subtle.
Exactly.
With that. It's not in your face most of the time, because, you know, sometimes you've been delivered from something, but that doesn't mean it's gone. It can always,
right.
it can always backfire, because because of our human nature, which is why God has already come and saved our souls and died for us, so that we can be forgiven for that. But that doesn't mean that we don't slip back. And this verse right here says, be alert for slippage.
Mm-hmm.
You know? As soon as you slip, he's like, oh, I got a little crevice in here. And you got to go, you have to be like, uh-oh, what's going on here? And if you're just, like you said, if you're just kind of like going la, la, la and not paying attention, you could be right back where you don't want to be.
Exactly. And that's why the next part of it says, resist him standing firm on faith. So it's not that you can't wobble, but if you're wobbling on your own crutch, you're going to fall down. If you're wobbling on Jesus, you're going to stand up. What are you resisting
mm-hmm.
him with? You ain't strong enough to do it on your own. I'm just talking facts, people. That's why he's there to help you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we have to be, what's the word, wise enough to say, I can't do this on my own. Can you help me? We have not
mm-hmm.
because we ask not. Now, that's a whole nother
that's
verse
right.
there. But that's a whole nother verse there. But all right, we're going to move on to Ephesians. And I'm saying these for those of you who are, I call them scholars. Just to disclaim, Audrey and I, neither one of us are ministers or preachers. We are believers who give our own interpretation of the verses. And
so we just everyday folk.
That's right. We just like you. Just like you. I may be butchering the titles, but I'm saying them the way I've always heard them, and if they've always butchered them, forgive us all with just what you can follow with the scripture we're referring to. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so no one can boast. What do you think on that one?
I think that this is saying that God, he gave his life, he gave his only begotten son so that we can be saved. We nothing we can do changes that. So So me being, you know, the perfect little Christian and joining every organization and, and being nice and being good, that's not what saved me. Good works doesn't save me. Now, yes, should we be a good Christian? Absolutely. But that is not, that doesn't get you into heaven. That is not, that's not the word. The word is that he doesn't want you to go around saying, hey, I'm the perfect Christian, you know? And I'm this, I'm that, and I'm that. No, God died. He suffered for us to be saved. So he took all that guilt and shame from us. So through faith, we believe that he lived and he died for us. And that is what keeps us going. That is why we're here. That is why we're able to do, that's why we're able to get out of bed, walk, brush our teeth, and go to work every day. Because he died and he gives us life. He gave us life by dying for us. And we cannot go around not giving him credit for that.
Exactly.
Everything that you do, everything that you do comes from him. If he don't want you to get up and walk one day, you won't.
That simple. And it really is that simple. And I think the thing I love about this verse, it speaks to the rich versus the poor. A Oprah is not going to be able to get into heaven any better than a Kim.
Right.
And I love that. You know, I love that because it speaks to wealth and fame versus, because a lot of people, that's their life. They think if they're not on a certain peg, you know, we've talked about this before. If they're not on a certain level or whatever have you, they're not executive, that they don't count. God don't look at titles. He don't look at bank accounts. He looks at heart. And if that heart ain't right, you're not, you haven't done what he asked you to do.
And that's why it's so important to have that relationship with him. It's not going to church. It's not giving your time. All of that, we're not negating that as important, but that is not why he loves us so much. He gave us the gift. Like he said here, it is a gift from him. So therefore, when somebody gives you a gift, what do? You thank them. You give them credit for giving you a gift.
Right.
You don't say, Kim gave me a gift because I'm so wonderful.
Thanks. Thanks, and then you go do whatever. Thanks means something. A thank you is a response to something that someone gave you. Like you said, it's a gift. But if your thank you is just words, then you're not thanking him.
Right.
You're just saying it.
Right.
And he wants you to, he's already given the ultimate gift, his life. So you got to do your part here. It doesn't mean that you, like you said, you don't do anything. But if you're just going, well, I'm top dog, I'm done, you're never done. That's the beauty of life. You're never done. As long as you have breath in your body, you can change. You can change your life. You can change your opinion. You can change your way of life. You can change someone else's way of life. And you got to find your calling and do it. But if you're just going to go, well, I'm there, there's no there in Christianity.
And another it says, for it is by grace. It's his grace. He was so gracious, and by his grace that we're saved. Not because we're so great. It's because of his grace that we're even here.
Tell that. Tell it. And our last, I guess you call it our last verse, not our last one, but the last one for today's show, is Psalms chapter 27, verse 14. Kind of flows in with the other verse we just did. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord.
I think this means exactly what it says. Don't go ahead of, don't wait. You know, we're such a society that we have to go do this now. You know, he gives you the path. Let's say you're following the path and now nothing's happening. And you think you should be doing something. And you're like, and every time you go ahead of him, you put yourself like 10 steps back. Because he says, wait, be in my strength and take heart. That means, you know what, I'm asking you to be strong because I'm here. I got this. Just wait for me. If the light is green and I tell you to go, go. When it's yellow, I'm telling you to wait. Because I have the plan. I know the plans I have for you, he said. to talk for you. And if you're not waiting, and you're not, and another thing, when you wait, you should be listening. You should be waiting and listening, not wait. And when you're listening, you become stronger because you're like, oh, okay, that's how it works, God. Oh, okay, so now I need to do this, but not right now.
Right.
Sometimes
you can't be waiting without listening because you're not waiting.
Sometimes
right.
he'll give me a glimpse of something. It's really weird. I used to think it was just my imagination, but he kind of gives me glimpses of things that he wants me to do, and all
right.
of a sudden, it starts working out because I'm waiting.
You feel like
I'm not
the path
ahead.
The path is there for you.
Right.
And I just couldn't agree with you more on all that. And I agree on the waiting. I agree on the listening. And I think that's key because sometimes we wait, but we aren't listening. And then we just go do our own way. And then we go, well, what happened? Waiting and listening are two different things. I mean, and sometimes people say, well, it's not written. And I'm like, the Bible would be a gazillion pages long if he had to write it for every person to get a perfect understanding. And I think it's written this way on purpose because it's written this way for us to have some inference. And the inference is good sometimes and the inference is bad sometimes. And the bad comes in when we try to make it, you know, I call it switch the words of the Bible around and use it for our own good or our own bad, as I should say. Wait for the Lord. You know, I've heard people say this on different occasions when they've tried to use people, like perhaps someone was do something and they'll tell them, you know, you need to wait for the Lord. That's not what it was meant for you to use it against someone where you're not giving them their proper due or you're not giving them what's owed them. So we have to be careful when we're talking about scripture that you don't allow someone to use it against you improperly. Wait for the Lord is wait for the Lord.
I also agree with that, too, and flip it on the other side. You also don't want to say wait for the Lord when you're scared and you're procrastinating. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And you know he told you to move, and you're not moving because you're scared to move. And that's where he says be strong and take heart. Because make sure he's telling you to wait and you're not waiting. So, in addition, I agree, don't let other people use it on you, but don't use it on yourself as an excuse.
Exactly. So true. Well,
talking from experience here.
Oh, yeah, we've all, you know, it's not only people that use scripture against people. You know, it's like commercial people. Words don't hurt people. People hurt people. Well, words can hurt people use words to hurt people. So, you know, it's all semantics. But like you said, exactly. Well, I'm waiting for confirmation. A poet I love called Just a Vessel has a poem. And her poem is basically about this is your sign. And each time she does it, I love it. And basically it's like, and I'm trying to quote a line from it, but basically one of the lines is like, stop waiting for the pastor to say your name backwards as your sign, as your call. You know, really? So he has to put your name in his sermon backwards for you to go, oh. Then you'll say, well, he didn't say my middle name. You know, we could play this game all day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he said it backwards, but he didn't say my middle name. So he wasn't talking to me. Or he said, you know, Jesus, if he gets up today and he says the love of God, then I know you're talking to me. He said the love of God, but he didn't say it. He was talking to the people on the right when he said it. You know, so it wasn't for me. So wait for the Lord does not mean make excuses while you're waiting. Wait for the Lord does not mean use that as your crutch to the reason to put off everything. Wait for the Lord is exactly like it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Take heart that you're not waiting in vain. But if you're waiting for you and not him, call it that.
That's right. And sometimes that wait can be a long, long time.
Yes.
In our years, it's
nothing
to him. But in our years, you know, and sometimes it's a long time. I mean, you know, plenty of examples. You know, people waiting to have children, years on top of years, and you know, waiting for that big break. You know, but sometimes God has you waiting because he needs to teach you a couple of things. He needs to prepare you. And that wait, it doesn't always mean you're just sitting around doing nothing. Everything you go through, God is preparing you for that next step. So in that wait time, make it productive. Make sure you're going back to listening. During that wait time, he may have you, well, you know what? I have you waiting on this, but I need you to be working on this part of your character so that when I take that, lift that weight from you, you're ready.
Yes. Yes. Because the weight is not always just the weight to get people, because I do believe he's lining things up and lining situations up and et cetera. But sometimes the weight is for you to get correct so you can appreciate the situation.
That's right.
Or be ready
Tell
to... Yeah, thank you. I'll be ready to walk into that light, because if you're still in your own head, why am I going to elevate you someplace you're not ready for?
That's right. You got to be ready. Because sometimes he does it on literally the drop of a dime. It could be the next phone call and you've blown up. You're like, what? But if you've been preparing, waiting, walking with the Lord and listening and, you know, that don't mean you're not going to be nervous or scared or it's going to be easy.
Right.
Not saying that, but you're going to be ready because he made you
ready. Yes, exactly. And that was what that time was for you to get ready, for you to get polished enough so that when you walked into it, it wasn't some overwhelming. What's the point if he goes, okay, well, I just started singing yesterday. Okay, well, you got the National Opera House in London tomorrow. Wait, I'm just learning tone and... You're not ready for that yet. It doesn't mean that you'll never get it, but if you take that time now to plant the seed, to learn singing, to practice, to do all that stuff that's necessary so that when that call comes, you can stretch out there and you can do it.
Mm-hmm. And you know he's with you every step of the way.
But if you're just saying, well, I've been doing this for 20 years, it's my time, his timing isn't based on how long you've been doing it.
No, not at all.
No. And the sooner we get with that, the better. Because there's a lot of people going, well, why did so-and-so get it? And they've only been doing it for a day, or they've only been doing it for a month, or they've only been doing it. It doesn't matter how long they've been doing it. It's how much preparation and how much time and things of timing that his timing, not ours, his.
And his plan.
Exactly.
You know what the plan is for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could not be for that person. That person might be a vessel for somebody else to do something. They might say, oh, they could do it, I can do it. You never, you don't know, you know. That's why we just have to be obedient, because he doesn't reveal everything to us all at once. First of all, we probably couldn't handle it.
Exactly.
Second of all, it's God. He's God. It's his right. He can do whatever he wants.
Amen to that. Well, we only have a few minutes left, so I always like to end the show with a Kimism haiku or something. And this one will be a Kimism, and it basically states, sometimes you fall so you can show someone else how to get up.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes we get so stuck in our, and believe me, I do this too. I'm not, you and I both know we're not throwing it out at anybody, anything we haven't done ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when you're down there and you show somebody that I'm a Christian, I've fallen, it hasn't been perfect, I lost a job, whatever, car repo, whatever the situation is, and you get up and you still make it, you've shown someone else how to recover from a negativity. So while none of us wants to go through the negative, and I get that, sometimes you're there so you can show someone else that, one, it's not the end of the world. Two, you can't get up. And three, you may be better off than when you fell before. Or maybe the fall taught you something. Don't be so anti the fall as you are the recovery from the fall. Because you can't recover from something that you've never been through. Just saying.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm so glad. Thank you for calling. Well, we didn't have callers this time because when it's a short show, we don't have callers. But thank you for listening in, for those of you who listened. And this show will be every third Sunday at 4 o'clock from 4 to 4:30. And if you can tune in, that would be fantastic. So call back or check in on us again in February. I'm not sure of the topic. It'll be online. If you need any information, you can check my website, www.kimbmiller.com. As always, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Think before you say. Say before you think. And let the Lord lead you on your path, because if you have his light, you'll never live in darkness. You'll make mistakes, but you'll recover. Thanks and goodbye.